Has anybody seen the movie God's Not Dead Yet? Anybody? You know what? If you haven't, I encourage you to watch it. Yes, right at the beginning, I'm like, Phil, it's like, holy smoke. But if you understand what they're trying to push into a two-hour window, you'll understand why they had to do so much. But it will encourage you in your faith. And I also encourage you to pay attention to some of the actors and actresses in that movie, because many of them are in mainstream shows as well, especially if you were a Good Luck Charlie fan, as my boys seem to have been, or at least Justin, and some subsequently. When your children like something, you end up liking it or watching it at least. It's a Disney program. One of the things I want to do today is we had a membership class just recently, and we've got two new members. And you know, I want to talk to you real quick about that, because you know, I know a lot of people, I don't want to be a member. I don't understand what it is being a member. And I was standing back there, and the Lord just kind of helped me put it into words that I understand, so I'm going to hope that you can help, hopefully understand. You know, when I enlisted in the Marine Corps, I became what they call a PULE, delayed entry programmer. And we were just, you know, a lot of guys went out and they got the haircut and everything, and they start running around, they start acting and thinking they're Marines, but they're not. I actually had the opportunity to see two young men off not too long ago at the graduation party, and somebody called him a Marine. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll call you a Marine when you come back, when you've earned the title. And the reason being is, folks, regardless of anything, you've got to be associated. You've got to be a part of something. We are Americans by the grace of God. We were born into this country. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you've never done anything for America, you will not understand it. You don't have to join the military, okay? You need to get outside of your four walls and do something outside of your life. But each time, once I became a Marine, you know, the drill instructors talked to us differently. We were one of them. And I'm not saying that just because you aren't a member, we're going to treat you any different, or we're going to talk to you any different. It has nothing to do with that, okay? But you see, once I got to my first unit, there were these little things we like to do. The crybabies, we'll call them, like to call it hazing. You know, I say, you know what? If you don't want to be a part of it, don't join that. And by the way, we do not do anything hazing-wise. We might try. But, you know, one of the things my unit liked to do was we had floor jacks. You know, we were a mechanical shop, and we had these floor jacks. And it concerned me because every last one of them had painted on it, not load tested. That means they've never been tried to see if they will hold the 10 tons they're rated for. We're just taking the manufacturer's assumption that they're going to hold 10 tons while we're laying underneath it. And so we had in Motor T a common practice of load testing the new Marines to our units. And what we did is in the barracks, especially overseas, you'd catch them in the hallway, preferably when they were going to the shower, which if you were the first guy, you might be a little uncomfortable grabbing that guy because he's just wearing a towel and flip-flops. And they usually can't run fast because they're wearing flip-flops. And the first guy would grab them, they'd yell load test, and everybody in your platoon and in the unit would come running out into the hallway, and they would dogpile you. But once that happened, you were a part of them. Each time I got promoted, people got to pin my stripes on. The first sergeant was usually the first one. This is one of the things that kind of got... Sometimes it can get a little carried away, I understand. But the first sergeant would pin your stripes on our collars. We weren't allowed to bring backs up with us, and we weren't allowed to wear plastic chevrons, and they would set them into our collarbone. Okay? That hurts. But it was just temporary, because we now became a part of an even more elite unit, or more elite section. What I'm saying, folks, is there was something, there was a brotherhood, there was a camaraderie that was built. And that's what it is. I was no less of a Marine. Fortunately, when I got promoted to corporal, there was only about three other people that outranked me. My gunnery sergeant was one of them. He wanted to pin my stripes on. He liked to go to the gym. And since there was nobody else to stand, we'd do a count. Anybody that's ever familiar with this, you do a count behind the back, and then you both punch at the same time in the shoulders. Well, since there was nobody to help him, he put me up against a metal stanchion. I still have the pictures. I think my shoulders touched. He hit me so hard. I had it coming. I was not exactly, I was a little mouthy. And he couldn't catch me. And even when he gave me an order to come back, I wouldn't come back. I was known to climb on top of the wall lockers and run because we had really high ceilings. And anyhow, he made me pay for it. But at that point, I also had his respect and I had his undying favor in his eyes, okay? I was a part of something else now. And being a member of anything is the same way. And as far as the body of Christ, the word says that we are all members of one body. I've, through the years, had people try to say, well, we're covenant partners. No, I'm not a covenant partner in the body of Christ. I am a member. I have attached myself, and I have attached myself to this body in particular. We're all part of one big body. So many people right now, well, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. You know, you've heard me say it before. On my dog tags, it didn't say that I was Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, or whatever. It says I'm Christian. Because as I was sharing with somebody the other day, if I needed those dog tags, it didn't matter what it said on there. I'm a Christian. That's all I wanted to be put on there. I didn't want to be labeled as something else. I'm a Christian. I believe in Christ. I believe we're going to stand before God and we're going to be looking over there and say, well, how did you make it and you weren't a part of my church? That's not it. It's about believing in Christ. It's not about what church we were baptized to in when we were 6 months old. And I believe you're here because there's many core values that we teach and we believe that you believe. And that's the only difference, or should be the only difference, between buildings. Certain core values. There's just some things that I look in the Bible, I'm like, God, it says right here, I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I believe that. And you can't change my mind because I've seen it. Okay? There's some churches, they don't believe God heals today. Well, I'm sorry, but he does. And you have a right to believe that way. But people have joined here. And there do come other benefits. Like I said, not that we're going to treat you any different than anybody else. I love each and every one of you the same, whether you're a member or not. But in that, there are other little things that come in. Because when I pray for this body and all those around, members say, hey, you know what? I want to serve. I want to help. And that's one of the biggest things that I say is the biggest difference. As a member, I believe people need to do something. You know, I have five digits on my hand. Each one of them has to do something. You don't realize what it does until you lose it. God gave me all five of those digits for a purpose. And that's the same way with the body. We may be the hand somewhere else. We may be another part. We may be a ligament that holds certain things together. I know many of the things of what God has called this body to do and what he's called others. I was talking to Brother Eddie over at Edison Enterprise the other day, and I said, you know what, brother? I don't see any purpose in recreating new ministries that you guys have a great grasp on. I said, I will gladly support you financially and give you some money to help you out with this. And he said, we appreciate that. Because what happens is we get into competition. Well, we've got the greatest clothes closet. We've got the greatest food pantry. We forget that we're one body. But anyhow, having said all that, I would like Dennis Haycook and Joshua Waddell to please come up. Now, I know many of you say, well, wait a minute, you made Joshua become a member? Yes, I did. He graduated and he's over 18. But he now has all the rights as any other member of this body. One of those which is the use of the facilities for free. Okay, which we do not rent out our facilities, just so you know. We did that a couple times, and boy, did that not work out. We ended up with things broken and people getting into things that they had absolutely no business being into. So I said, you know what, we're done. This will be a members only thing. Dennis, you know, he's only been here a short time, and he shared with us the other day. I want to tell you something. Dennis told me, he says, he served in another church for years before, and he said, I never really believed in tithing. He said, but you've talked about it a little bit. And he said, and I started tithing. He says, I'm on a fixed income. Some of you know what I'm about to say. He says, I can't explain it. Don't know how it works. But God is blessing the other part. Because many of you sitting in here are on a fixed income. And when things come up, God provides. And I rejoice at that testimony. And the reason I rejoice is because he did it out of because God said to do it. Because I've had other people say, well, what's my problem, Pastor? I said, well, first off, you're stealing from God. You're taking what belongs to him. That's what the word says. The tithe goes beyond the law. It was the word, from word go in the garden. Okay, and the guy said he tithed for a month. I see absolutely no difference. I'm not tithing ever again. Well, that's fine. It's your life. But you know what? I can't. I just showed you and told you. The just shall live by faith. I live by faith. We are the just, if you haven't figured that out. So, Dennis, I want to welcome you as a brother in the Lord and as a member of this body, sir. And this next one kind of gives me a little bit of... because this is my oldest son. He was 6 years old when we started this church. And he and Jesse were the only two kids. And they were in our basement. We painted the floor in our basement. We cleaned it up and hung some things up to make it look a little nicer. And that first, I believe it was the first Sunday, they prayed for more kids. Well, we didn't get them all right at one shot, but we have grown and we have a whole lot more kids. We've ministered to numerous kids throughout the years. And, you know, it is an honor to watch your children grow in the Lord. I've had the opportunity to baptize my children when they've reached that age. And, you know, if you're a father and your children are wanting to be baptized, or a mother, or whoever, I will allow you to be in the water with us. I know a lot of people get a little goofy on baptism. John was baptizing basically in a runoff creek. It wasn't this special holy river. It wasn't real nice. And I let people get into water. I know I've let Phil, you know, and Bob was with me, his grandfather, when we baptized him. And he made that decision on his own. But, you know, in all that, I also do this. He's like, why do I need to be a member? And I said, because there's certain things that you will learn as time goes on. You may not understand everything fully right then and there, but I said, I need everybody to see I treat my sons the same as I treat everybody else. And sometimes I'm a little harder on them. When we were sitting down through the membership class, and Josh, we were like, okay, here's the areas of ministry. And jokingly, I said, Josh, make sure you put down building maintenance on there. I figured. And you need to understand, there's a lot of times... We couldn't organize a work day because so many different people have different schedules, and not everybody's gifted. Okay, I don't want to offend anybody, but a lot, years ago I learned there are some people who can and some people who can't, And it's more stressful on me to try to teach you how to do it and do it right than it is to just do it. But through the years, through these 13 years, this boy and the other one now, they have learned to work. They've done a little bit of everything. Jesse helped me hang a little bit of drywall this week in there, and I said, "No, here's how you work." He said, "Dad, I used that." "You did?" He said, "Yeah, remember he was with Mr. Richard there when they were hanging the drywall on this." He said, I can run that screw gun. I know how to do it." I'm like, "Wow, man, I forgot, you know, forgot what I've taught them." But one of the greatest things I thank God for their youth is they are still flexible. They can go in those little tight spots I don't get into very well anymore. So, Joshua, I want to welcome you, son, as a member of this body. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give him a hand. You may be seated. Thanks. Hallelujah. And, you know this, again, even though you may not be a member, being a member, your greatest thing is you get to serve. I want to reiterate, you get to serve. We are called to be servants. Jesus was the greatest servant on the planet. And he was God, is God. Let me rephrase that. Again, one of the other things I want to do, because I don't have anything else right there, right? Any other business? Okay. Lori, would you please come? Tom, you come up with her. I've known, good night, Tom. How long have I, he lived on the next road over. My senior year, anytime I skipped school, he was usually there with me. It's a wonder we graduated. And Lori lived actually on, technically on the same road, just on the other side of 314 and 71. And, but Lori has done some battling with cancer over the last, before. Well, and the doctors said, "Well, there's something we're not for sure, and we want to do more tests, if I'm understanding right." And if you've been around here any given time, you know one of the things that God does not like is cancer. Me, Angela, and Phil, we got together and prayed the other day, but we're going to lay hands on you now as a body. And I wanted you up here, Tom, you know, because you're her husband. And we're going to pray for her. And if you've never, I don't tolerate cancer, okay? We're not going to just say, "Oh, God, if it be your will." It is God's will to heal, okay? And if you've been around me long enough, you know when it comes to stuff like that, I don't mealy-mouth around with it. We're kicking it out. Every cell that is wrong will be made right. We will stand with you. We will pray for you, even when you're weak and you're tired, okay? But God will heal. I could ask you right now, I mean, I know there have been several people, Cheryl, that she went to the doctor, they said, "Hey, you've got a spot." We prayed. "Hey, we ain't got a spot no more." Several people. Too many people in here have seen God heal. And cancer is one of those things that God has indeed, I know, anointed me to pray for. Don't know why, don't understand it. But I do know there's a lot of people running around right now because they dared to believe. So, Angela, if you'd come up here. Cheryl, why don't you come on up here too as well? Barbie, you're a friend, and you know, we, like I said, we all kind of grew up in the same neighborhood, rode the same bus, bounced on the same potholes, got yelled at for bouncing out of the seats for the same potholes. But again, we're going to pray and we're going to believe God's going to do a miraculous work in you, okay? Stretch your, please stand. Let's stand and stretch your hands forward. You know, you're praying for her. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we take a stand right now against every cancer cell, against every cell in this body that is not right. Lord, we command that cell to die and new life to be birthed in her right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that you are healing her. You are restoring to her strength. You're restoring to her courage and faith. Lord, I thank you right now that you are touching every part of her body. You are healing it. You are restoring anything that may have been damaged because of these cells. Lord, I command every balance in her body to be restored in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you right now for Tom, and I pray, Lord, that you give him strength to pray for his wife, to lift her up and to encourage her, and I know he will be there. Lord, I thank you that for this couple right now, that as they stand in faith, Lord, that the next thing we hear will be, "I am healed." And Jesus did it. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, you may be seated now. Praise Jesus. Listen, it sometimes takes faith is crazy. That's all I can say. Faith is crazy. I don't know about you, but for some reason that sounded like candy falling back here to me. You want to know how much God loves us? The other day, Joshua, he's like, I want some M&Ms. He's like, but I want to go get gas here or fuel here because it's cheaper, but I got to go into town to get the M&Ms. Apparently the M&Ms won out over the cheaper fuel, and he went into town and got the M&Ms. Or you did both? Okay. And anyhow, in the process, he bought me a bag. I said, well, I'll give you money to buy me a bag. And I was like, yeah, I could snackle. Well, my M&Ms weren't, I don't know what, it was a bad batch. And Angela's like, you know what, these taste a little funny. That maybe that's what it was. Yeah, they were the expired ones. Well, they did. They tasted a little funny. It didn't stop me from eating them. And Angela comes in. She's like, you know what? This tastes like those little round chocolate candies. I said, Sixlets? She's like, yes, those nasty. I think, what are you talking about? I love Sixlets. And she's like, well, you. And it's the truth. I have no problem in my household. We went to Menards, and I'm standing there, and Angela walks up, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, look at that. And I look back and say, oh, goodness, there's a huge bag of Sixlets, four times the size of the bag of M&Ms. And I threw that on there. The Sixlets actually cost more than the stuff I went into Menards to buy. And I said, God loves me. And what makes it even greater is I'm the only one in my house who really likes Sixlets. Jesse will eat them, but I don't think anybody else likes them. So I have a whole bag all to myself. I've had to hide them in the barn so that I don't eat them all in one sitting. No, they're in the fridge. Yeah, the boys knew they were there. That's why I'm not worried, but they aren't going to touch them. Hallelujah. Well, you're enjoying your Labor Day weekend. You know, I've heard a lot about Labor Day over the years. Like, well, what? How did it come about? What all? So I looked all that up the other night when I knew what God wanted me to talk about. Labor Day was actually started in 1894, and it really didn't come about because of a good thing. It came about because the workers for the Pullman Rail Car Company decided to picket. President Cleveland at the time decided he was going to send in federal troops to break it. Okay, y'all think things are a little out of whack right now? Federal troops are never to be called in and used against the American people. Never. And it's a little concerning when over 100 years ago, President did that. And some of the workers died. And out of that arose, because of what ended up happening, arose a movement that forced the federal government to recognize the first Monday in September as Labor Day, a day when the country would stop and look back at the labor, at what we've done. It's a great thing, and to be honest with you, it's kind of scriptural. God kind of had a similar thing. He started it in the book of Genesis. He worked for 6 days. He brought order to chaos. He created mankind. And it said, and on the sixth day, God looked back, said, it is good. The seventh, he took a break, and he rested. He did that, folks. We've proved that we can work 7 days a week. How many of you have done that and realized halfway through the week, you have no idea what day it is? You have no unction. You don't know where up from down. And that's why God implemented the Sabbath. The word Sabbath literally means to desist, but it also means to celebrate. See, the Sabbath was created for man, not man for the Sabbath. And this is where the Pharisees and many of the Jews got a little crazy with it. So I want to open you to open your Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 20. We are going to read right out of the Ten Commandments. I want to read you this, and most of you, if you've ever heard me preach before, you know what I'm talking about with the law. I firmly believe that the Ten Commandments are something that should always be ingrained on our hearts. Whether or not they appear in our schools, whether or not they appear in our courthouses, the truth of the matter is, all law goes right back to here. And the Supreme Court is still going to have a tough time separating God, because right at the moment, Moses sits at the top of the Supreme Court. So that means they got to go get jackhammers out and break Moses off, because he is at the peak, because he is the lawgiver. But the Ten Commandments are the foundation on how to treat people, how to love God, and how to love yourself. We get a little concerned with, well, you know what? I don't think them chairs are straight enough for God. We need to have more order. God don't care if one chair is out of whack. Once you sit down in it, it's out of whack. Because nobody leaves the chair alone. If the chair ain't bolted to the floor, do you not move it? I got to move just a little bit. I can see the preacher a little better. Yeah, I'm a good-looking guy. A real humble one, too. Seriously. Oh, but anyhow. So let's read Exodus chapter 20. Let me get my eyeballs on here. The VA sent me a little thing the other day and said, it's time. Go get your eyeballs checked again. Remember, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. He means he set it apart as something special. When we take the Sabbath, we are supposed to celebrate what we've done, but we can't. Let me tell you why. Because we sit there and we think about all the work that's not getting done and what we've got to do yet. That is the hardest thing for me to do, is to try to relax at home. It just can't be done. Because I'm laying there, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, there's wood that's got to be split and stacked. I've got to get this done. I got to get that done. I still got more electric to fix before the weather turns bad. I got all this stuff that's got to be done on the outside. How am I going to do? Oh, this is my Sabbath. That's how I spend it. Anybody sound familiar to anybody else? You lay there and you think about everything that's got to be done. And God was basically setting apart and saying, it's a celebration of what you have done. To celebrate. The night before, you prepared all your food. So you got up, you didn't have to cook. You didn't have to do anything. You just got up and you celebrated the Lord and you thanked Him. And you took the time off and let your body restore itself. Right there's the number one problem. In Europe right now, it is mandated that everybody gets 6 weeks of vacation. 6 weeks! Per year. That seems like a little extreme, doesn't it? But I dare say maybe they've gotten hold of something. We always want to be like Europe and everything else. We want to kick God out of the church. We want to kick God out of the schools, out of our government, out of our lives. But for something that is actually somewhat godly, because, by the way, every feast that's in the Bible that God ordained, you weren't to do any work. You were to celebrate and enjoy God and enjoy what He has done and what the accomplishments you've done. But we can't. Because we're constantly going. We have been trained to do this. There was a time in life, there was no businesses open on Sunday. Factories. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, I think that's part of what got wrong with the United States. I've worked in factories. Many of them sitting around here, you worked in factories. did they not run 7 days a week? Most of them did. And it wasn't because they had to. It was because, well, we've got orders, so we're going to fill them all right now instead of stretching that work out and keeping. I worked for a company, they routinely shut down because they'd run themselves out of work. We are an impatient people now. There's a, I can't even think of who sings it. Anybody who's heard it will know what I'm talking about. There's a country song. Whatever happened to waiting your turn? Whatever happened to waiting in line? Whatever happened to slowing down just a little bit? This morning I got a good example of that. Driving down the road, I just topped a little hill. I mean, and it's not from here to the end of the lot, from the road where I came out or topped over, and a car pulled out right in front of me. I was doing road speed, legal speed limit. And in the back of my mind, his little voice said, "Lay on the horn." The other side, praise God, won out, and I just let off accelerator and didn't lose my peace over it. So many times I'm more apt to get upset. I did have to lay on my horn the other day for a gentleman who was impatient and decided he was going to run the red light that me and my pickup truck were going through. Green. I had the green side, just so you have the clarification there. He was running the red light. I noticed that when we went down the road, he stayed way back. I didn't flip him off or anything. I just let him go. I'm just letting you know. Some of you I know would have been tempted. I didn't even wave because I didn't want him thinking I was flipping. I understand. I've accidentally pulled out in front of people and blew a light that I shouldn't have. And unfortunately, it was the same one he was blowing. So God said, don't do anything. Take the time off. Let your animals rest. That's a really hard thing for us to do now because we don't plow with oxen and animals anymore. We use tractors. We don't dig with these things anymore. We got equipment. The equipment doesn't get tired. It will break, but it itself doesn't get tired. That's one way to keep my notes with me. So God meant it when he said, take the time and celebrate. Remember what you've done. What have you done this year? Every last one of us has done something. You know, last year about this time we were trying to move. Now my sister's in the same boat. And when it all came down, we had 10 days to move into a house that needed a year's worth of work without anybody living in it. And if you've ever lived in a remodel, you know that is not fun. Especially when you get in there and you find out your kitchen sink has been actually draining right into the crawl space and not into a septic system. And there's no plumbing under there. So our first week or so, we went without a kitchen sink because I hadn't had the time to get up underneath and run the plumbing. And so the other day, you know, we were sitting on our front porch. And I told Angela, I said, do you realize it's been a year? We went into contract with this house, and we would come out because the government shut down and stopped the other people from being able to close. And I said, we would come out nearly every day. We'd walk around the property, look, and talk about things that we were going to do, things we'd like to have done. And we'd sit there on the corner of the porch, just looking over the driveway and at the trees. Because, see, we had no trees on our property. Everybody else had trees. And when you've got less than a quarter of an acre, you don't deserve it. You don't need a tree. You ain't got no yard. And we sat there the other day, and I said, honey, it's been over a year. And we sat here saying how nice it was going to be to sit on this front porch. And we have a cup of coffee, maybe two, every morning out there on that porch, even when it's cold out there. Boy, it got cold the other morning. We're both wrapped up in blankets. And one thing comes up every day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, to me, it seems like it's just gone by super fast. But for those that got to see the house beforehand, they've realized how much work went into that. I looked back at my phone the other day at pictures. You couldn't tell we had a barn because it was covered in vines and trees. Joshua took the chainsaw out and made sure the trees disappeared, and they pulled the vines. We've hauled truckloads of poison ivy out of there. Literally, truckloads. And we just sit and thank God because he's blessed it. And that's part of it, is stopping to enjoy it. I told her, I said, I've determined, okay, we're in the house. I don't have to kill myself anymore. There's things I want to do, yes. But I'm learning to take the time and enjoy what I've got. So many people forget so much. The house falls below my family. The other night, I didn't want to stop working, but I had to, because I wanted to watch my son play ball. See, that has changed. God has been working in me in that. And he's still working in me on this whole thing, because one of my hardest things to do is to step down for a week or a couple days and get away. There you go, ma'am. But you see, that's what God created us to do. We're supposed to work. Hard work never killed anybody. Overworking did, but hard work never. There's a balance. But I noticed what had become, what had started happening in me is I'd become as religious as the Pharisees. I can't do that. I'd get upset. And God had started telling me, first off, he says, you've got to quit that. You're judging people. I found myself, I'm like, oh, Lord, I have been judging people. And you know what judging people does to you? You can't enjoy anything. Jesse, would you turn these two fans on a little bit higher? I don't know, or make sure, drop the air conditioner or something, kick that thing on. I can't go down any lower on the clothing level here, folks. Got my t-shirt on, but I got a point I got to stop. But God meant for us to stop. He meant for everything on this planet to have a break. And that included his people. And if we will understand what he was trying to do. Now let me clarify this real quick for some people, because I know, you know, Carmen's a nurse. She's got to work some Sundays. Clint and Brooke, if they're not here, guess what? She's a nurse, and he works for a farm that they have to rotate who's working on the weekend. Many of us in here have been in that boat. I need you to understand something. There's no condemnation. Sunday, first off, is not the seventh day. It is the first. The early church took the first day of the week and gave it to God as a tithe. That's what they did. They started understanding we need the break on the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was not created so that we had to follow the rules of a Sabbath, but so that we would take it and we would let God restore us. Okay? So having said that, people don't need to feel guilt and condemnation because they got to work on Sunday. Take a day. Take another day and restore yourself. You know, I have felt guilty sometimes when it's my time to take a little bit of time off. Oh, I can't go fishing. I got holes in the roof of the barn that's got to be fixed, which I'm not doing. I'm going to pay somebody to do that. Guys with the proper ropes and ladders. And I ain't afraid of the height. It's the fall. That's what my dad used to always say. He said, he used to say, it's not the fall that kills you. It's that sudden stop at the end of it. My dad was a high... would build electrical towers. And I thank God I was little when he'd climb those, because I've seen what he does in his 60s. And I'm like, Dad, don't you ever let me see you do that. You tell Mom all you want about tying ladders together. and using your van to keep the bottom from kicking out, and the ladder bows about 20 feet until it touches the roof. I will call the paddy wagon and have them bring your little I love me jacket, because you're crazy. Even your sons won't do that. And so I would feel guilty because I've got all this work I got to do, but forgetting the fact that I've got to let me recreate that. You know, that's what the word recreate, recreation means, is to recreate. You're recreating yourself. So many people have become so job, so work-oriented, they forgot to live life. Turn over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. I should have just looked up there. Gotta go to verse 1. I gotta get my eyeballs back on so I can see verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1 of Matthew. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." Here's a couple of questions I have. They were so bent in their religious ways of observing the law that they were actually following Jesus on the Sabbath to make sure he was observing them as well. They had no problems violating it themselves because they were not... on the Sabbath, they had created such rules and laws, you could only go so many steps away from your house. One of the things they did is they would take a chair before the Sabbath and they'd set it so far away from their house because it was belonged to their house. This was now an extension of their house. You following me? I can only go within, say, 50 steps away from my house, so I'm going to take that chair and I'm going to carry it down to my neighbors that I want to talk to on the Sabbath, and I'm going to set it over by his so that we can go get together. This is stupidity and madness. But they followed Jesus on the Sabbath, and his disciples are walking along and they just innocently pluck the head off the wheat, break it down in their hands, and they eat the little grain because they were hungry. But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and yet are blameless? Yet I say to you, that in this place, there is one greater than the temple." I bet that really set them off. You did not talk about the building. I got news for you, folks. People get so concerned about the buildings. Yes, we take care of the building. Yes, we maintain it. We want it to look good. I don't care about this building. And I'm head of maintenance. And I'm the pastor. I don't care about this building because this is not the temple. This is simply a gathering place. The temple of the Holy Spirit is right here. The Bible says, "Don't you know that you are the temple? Your body is indeed the temple." Now, I'm going to hit something that, I don't know, I want people to understand there's a balance in all things. I believe in taking care of what you put into your body. If we understood some of the, you don't need to worry about being embalmed. You might as well, when you're making funeral arrangements, tell them to forget that process, because you've got so many preservatives in you now, your body will not rot. Okay, we do need to pay attention to what we're eating. But I'm not going to get so twisted in my head to think that just because that little field of corn over here that is totally surrounded by everything else, it gets a little bit of spray. I understand how things work. you know, the ground comes up, the water settles in the ground, and it evaporates up. So guess what it takes back with it? Everything that was there. And it comes back down on top of that organic stuff. Listen, we go from one ditch to the other and understanding there's a balance. We do need to take care of what we're doing. Watch it. We have a balance. Am I going to stand up here and say, well, you know what? Oh, everybody uses pesticides. You're killing the honeybees. It ain't that. It is not that at all. Because I heard somebody, it was a friend of Angel's on Facebook, shared something about phosphates. Everybody's going on about phosphates and throwing all this out at them. And it's like, farmers aren't the ones doing this. Do you understand that phosphates are expensive? They do not use any more than absolutely have to be used. However, you, as Joe consumer, use 10 times more than any farmer ever would. Why? Because you don't pay attention. Well, that's good, cheap laundry detergent. You ever go out? Anybody ever seen in the... you see this buildup around your pipes and stuff, especially your laundry? You got this little white buildup all around it. Guess what that is? It's phosphates. I remember it as a kid. Around the drain and stuff of the laundry. That's phosphates. You don't want a lot of that. But yet we turn around and we crucify those who are actually trained how to administer it. And the truth of the matter is, your average Joe who goes to the laundry detergent aisle doesn't pay attention to what ingredients are in it because it's 60 cents cheaper. Yeah, it's a filler. But neither am I going to go back to making my own lye soap. So you want to do that, more power to you. Don't get up here and preach it. But we paid attention to it years ago. Hey, you know what? We don't need all this garbage going out in our lawn. Let me get back to where I was at. I'm going to go back to verse 6. Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. See, so many people today are wanting you to sacrifice. Please give. Give till it hurts. That's not what God wants. He would rather you give mercy, which, by the way, means giving something to somebody who doesn't deserve it. I'm walking in learning that right now. I know that. I'm just getting the opportunity to exercise it more. And he said, if you learn that I would prefer that you give mercy, and I will give you that mercy than for you to sacrifice. He's saying, you know, now I need you to understand this, folks. Sometimes people, we've gotten a little crazy on some things. Factories, I say that was probably the biggest draw. That's why there's no hardly any manufacturing in the United States right now. I was watching, it's actually the Labor Day website, a video about it, and it was because of all the labor that was happening and all the great strides the United States was making. I mean, man, do you realize where we went, where we came from, what we manufactured? I mean, I did not realize until, you know, within the last 20 years, what was made right in Central Ohio. Shovels, dozers, graders, buses, known around the world. All right here. Where's it at? Those buildings are sitting empty. No manufacturing going on. Not here. Why? Because, first off, people and greed got hold of it. We've got to work all these. How about giving the worker a break? You know what? We don't have to work 7 days a week. When I worked at Flexible, it was amazing to me the greed that went on. That company, folks, our cheapest bus was $250,000. The cheapest bus. And once it came through our paint shop, they got the majority of the money. Because in another day, it would be together and ready to sell. When that company filed for bankruptcy, you need to understand something. This company was also government subsidized. That meant taxpayers were giving money to it to keep it open. Because there's about 1,100 workers. Okay? And I just want to tell you, a lot of them are real lazy. One guy, it was an amazing thing. He was making money hand over fist. Man, they were people, boy, you're working a lot of work. Well, the problem is the federal or the state government also monitors how many hours are coming in, seeing how it's mandate or federally subsidized. And they started looking, it's like, how is this guy making so many hours? I mean, we're talking over 100 hours a week. Listen, I was working almost up to 70 at that point, and it was nuts. We're talking 6 12s just to get 72. My wife said, you ain't working any more 12s. You are not a pleasant person to be with. They figured out what he was doing. He'd clock in on his normal shift, work 10 or 12 hours while there was a supervisor there. When the third shift guy came in, he'd just sneak out the back door, go get in a bus, and go to sleep. He was getting 10 to 12 hours of sleep a day. I ran into this guy a couple years ago. He had had a stroke, totally disabled, and still blamed it all on the working. I thought, man, you should have been fired. You should have been fired. But anyhow, at the time they filed for bankruptcy, when they handed us all our pink slips, we had a back order of 2,200 buses. We could only make 5 a day. These were orders for buses. And I'll be honest with you, we didn't get any work done on Sunday. It was just a day people came in to pad their paycheck. That was the sad part. Production didn't actually go. It was just the sell line. And if you treated the seller right, you could sell all the buses during the week. But they were always trying to get over. We did a lot of it ourselves because we wouldn't take a stand and say, you know what? We don't need to work 7 days a week. Let's work good and hard our 6 days and rest. These guys would come in, oh, I worked. Man, most of them didn't. They just got in there and they'd sit. And unfortunately, because it was a union shop, when I'd go in on the weekend to work my overtime, I wasn't allowed to do anything other than my job. I couldn't grab a broom, couldn't sweep the floor. I'd put my brother out of work, even though he wasn't there. I couldn't do anything. I need you to understand, that worked hard on me because I had been taught, you work. My dad was a union electrician, and he never paid attention to the union rules, which might be why my uncle messed him over every time he could, because my uncle was a union agent. And he wouldn't listen. He's like, listen, there's work that's got to be done, and I'm going to do it. Get out of my way. Because if his company goes out of business, I'm out of job. So, now, I do want you to understand, I understand why unions are there. I understand why they had to come about. I also say there comes a point, we as the American people, should say, wait a minute. We can bring manufacturing back. We can take some pride in ourselves again, take some pride in our work. Quit blaming everybody for everything. Figure out what's wrong and fix it. But when we take our time off and our Sabbath, it's to restore ourselves. I have no idea how I got on that other trail, but it's to restore ourselves and our mind. It's to put our mind at ease. It's a celebration. In the fall, after harvest, we usually have harvest festivals. People celebrate getting their crops off in the bins. We as a people anymore don't take the time to celebrate the good things and to remember, this didn't just happen. You know, you can drive up and down the road, you can see the corn and all the beans in the fields. Oh, that just, you know, it just poof, it's up overnight. That farmer had to work that ground. That farmer had to plant. He had to spray. You want to know why he has to spray? Because for some stupid reason, somebody seems to think the Japanese beetles just magically fall off. They will devour your crops. We live in a world, folks, that God required some rest for it. God requires us to maintain it. I'm not a tree hugger by definition. I have no problem with hunting. I have no problem with fixing problems. If you got flooding in an area that shouldn't be flooding, fix it. But I also say, how about we try to take care of the earth too? Because I need you to understand something. I'm not going to get into the law, but if you get into the history of Israel, you'll see where one of the biggest charges God had against Israel was not taking the Sabbath. And the Sabbath didn't stop just for man. It was his animals, and it was the land. It was taking care of everything. It needs a break. He had a way. If we will dare to trust God in it and watch what he does. I wanted to read something to you. You may not have read it. I hope you did. I thought it was kind of fitting. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at God, you'll be at rest. If we look at the world to accomplish everything, we're going to realize they can't be done. And if we look at ourselves, we're going to get depressed because we know we can't do it all. How many of you hit every goal you wanted this week? I can't put my hand up unless you had some really low goals. Okay, let's stipulate that. If you had really low goals, I've heard people say, don't set your goals so high, you'll always hit them. Okay. We don't, do we? We rarely get everything we wanted done. I told Angela, I said, you know, I really need to add some receptacles. We've got one receptacle in our bedroom. Okay, our fan's plugged into it. We've got an extension cord running under our bed to our lamps beside the bed. So when she brings a hair thingy in, because that's where it's easiest for her to do it, she has to unplug something. Usually it's the lights. Today it was the fan. I'm like, oh, man, I'm missing the fan already, and you just turned it off. And yeah, it was starting to blow humid. Yeah, which when you've got curly hair like hers. So anyhow, I told her, I said, I meant to do that. And I'm sitting there thinking, what week? She's like, was it the weekend I was gone? I said, yeah. I said, I really didn't get as much accomplished as I wanted. But then I said, but you know what? We did get a lot accomplished. We did get a lot accomplished. And so, you know, I was like, well, you know, I'm not going to be so hard on myself. We need to look to God. That's the whole point of the Sabbath, is for God to work in us. Because what happens? We sit down and think, oh, you know, Lord, I thank you that I'm up to 6 cord of wood split and stacked. I am up to that. But if I look at the situation, I'll get distressed. I ain't got enough. Ain't got enough wood done. I don't have those receptacles in. I need to have those receptacles in. I ain't got this done. I need to get this done. And if I start at that point, then look at myself, guess what happens? Then I'm depressed because I didn't get it done. I didn't accomplish everything I wanted to do. How often do we do that? So this Labor Day weekend, I hope from this point on you take the opportunity to let God work in you. And my Bible is, I got pages stuck where they shouldn't be. Learn to enjoy. I'm having to do that. I'm having to relearn how to enjoy the time off, time with my family, instead of sitting there thinking, well, we need to, boys, we got a little bit of time off. So that's why I didn't do as much. Because I told him, I said, that pile's to go. I probably got two, maybe three more cord to go. You got four? Oh. And I said, you know what? We're done. I said, we're done for the day. God said, you need to relax. Because otherwise, all we do is wind ourselves up, stress out, don't we? Sat back the other day and realized I went and bought a fishing license, and I've been fishing one time. One stinking time for $20. However, that changes. I've got a boat, and I'm going to drown some more worms. And guess what? I'm going to learn to start taking some time off from my job, too. There's going to be a couple Sundays you're not going to see me. Y'all missed Angela last week. I told her, I said, you need to go. The downside to being the pastor and the pastor's family, when you all go on vacation and the pastor's family is involved in nearly everything, there's kind of a vacuum effect. But we're learning that we have to do that. It's for everybody's sake that we do that. And I don't think we've actually taken a full... We did it one time, and I told her there were some hiccups, and I said, I won't ever do it again. But God's saying, you better start trusting me. So we're learning. And as we learn, I hope you learn and you grow. And I'm learning not to be critical. People need to relax. People need that time. But I pray that when you take it, you take it. That's what it's for. It's not so you can sit there and fret about what you didn't get done. Enjoy it. All right, let's stand. I'll shut up because I'm done and I'm starting to babble. When God took that first Sabbath, you do understand God doesn't get tired? God doesn't get tired. But he took that Sabbath because he knew we would. He knew he was going to create man, and he knew man was going to need a break. Many times our body is what's telling us it's time for the break, isn't it? Injuries. I remember I was reading, I love this old house, mainly because that seems to be what I'm attracted to, are these old houses. And Norm Abram's in there. He's a master carpenter. I mean, he can build anything. He said he learned a lesson one time. And this was something Angela keeps reminding me of. And I can push through. But he said when he was a young carpenter working for this man, they were redoing an entire boat. It was a sailboat. We had done everything in teak. Now, if you don't understand, wood teak is expensive and very difficult to work with. But it doesn't rot, and that's why they use it on boats. And he said his boss had left for the day, told him, he said, you make sure you're done at 4:30. He says, I don't care where you're at, you're done at 4:30. Norm said, okay. He says, I had 15 minutes more work. He's like, and his words were going in the back of my mind, you're done at 4:30, you stop. He said, if you go beyond that, a certain hours, you start making mistakes and breaking things. He's like, but I had 15 more minutes and I'd be done with this job. We wouldn't have to come back tomorrow. He said, so I pushed through. One nail in the wrong place ruined the entire boat. He said, so from that point on, I learned quitting time was quitting time because you make mistakes. I personally have learned that I prefer a 10-hour day over an 8. Because when I worked at the factory, 8 hours, you were just getting going. You were just getting your stride. 10 hours, I was good. But after that, I don't know what happened. The wind went out of your sails and you couldn't focus. But I'm just here to tell you, folks, there's a time. We've all got to just take a step back and say, you know what? I'm done. Put it up and rest. And don't feel guilty because you're enjoying your life. Because I'm done feeling guilty for not doing anything. It's done. We're done. We're done, right? We can work. God said you have 6 days. You do your work. And you take a day and enjoy yourself. Celebrate it. I felt that I've had to work so much that I forgot to go fishing. And summer's gone. But maybe the bass will be biting in the fall. Maybe I can find a good trout string somewhere. Amen. I'm rejoicing that they're going to redo the state park. I'm really hoping they dredge it. Not much more in a mud hole right now. Because we got big fish in there. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you and we praise you that first off, Lord, you were the one who initiated taking a break. Lord, help us all to walk in your path, to understand that there is no guilt if we just don't do anything. That if we just sit in our porch swing and enjoy what you have created and enjoy what you have given us. Father, I thank you for these people today. Lord, I bless them. And Lord, I ask that if any of them are having the difficulties in this, that you see them through it, that you help them to understand that you created us to enjoy this earth. And now, Father, I pray that you go with them this week as many of them start their weeks back to school, some for the first time, and back to work. Lord, I thank you for their jobs, and I pray that you bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.